Good morning. Today's daf in Chagiga is Dalet. We're on Gimel Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the word Tana Rabbanan, about six lines from the bottom. Gemara is going to continue its discussion regarding the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Ein Yantav, every one of the Amud Tovim. So we have a mitzvah in the Torah to go to Yerushalayim, to go to the Azara and be seen. This is Re'iyah Azara. In addition to that, also there's a mitzvah to bring a carbon. That's called the Olas Re'iyah. So for Tosus, from Tosus' perspective, these two really go hand in hand. And one really is connected to the other. Rashi may agree with that. And that was the first Tosos and Amasechta that we discussed just very briefly. But nevertheless, there is a mitzvah of Re'iyah. So who's chayv in the mitzvah of Re'iyah? So the Mishnah says, Hakol, everybody. Hakol chayv in Re'iyah. Everyone's obligated in Re'iyah. But as we read on in the Mishnah, not exactly everybody. There are notable exceptions. When you count up all the exceptions, it comes out that more people are exempt than actually are obligated. Okay, but we already made this observation. The female population are exempt, so that's already half the population. And then in addition to that, a number of other people as well. What we're going to be doing over the course of yesterday, today, tomorrow, is we're going to go over these exemptions, and we're going to study them, learn the sources of them, learn the reasons behind them. So that is what we have been doing. That's what we'll continue to do over the course of today. And today ends off with some really interesting and some difficult agadata. But we'll try to navigate. We start off Tana Rabbanan. Ezu Shota, so we're talking now about the Shota. Shota is going to be exempt. Somebody who is psychologically deranged, clinically insane. So for such an individual, he's Pater. Not only is he Pater from the mitzvah of Re'iyah, he's going to be Pater from Kol HaMitzvos B'Torah. He does not have Das in order to be Chayv in Mitzvos. So there is a prerequisite to have Das. And so you don't have Das as a Shota. And so therefore he's going to be exempt. The Mishnah lists him as one of the first people who are going to be exempt. The Mishnah says, Cheresh, Shota, V'Katan. So the Cheresh, Shota, and Katan are going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. So we already discussed the Cheresh at length. Yesterday's daf was dedicated to the discussion of the Cheresh. So now we are going to open up today's daf, really the end of yesterday, with a discussion regarding Shota. Tan Rabbanan, Ezu Shota, who's a Shota? Meaning, give me the definition of a Shota. We're looking for now diagnosis in order to establish who was a Shota and who was not. Really interesting Rashi. Rashi writes over here, Ezu Shota, Hamor b'chol makom. So this is not a local discussion, says Rashi. This is going to be a general discussion throughout all of Shas, throughout all of Halacha. Hamor b'chol makom shapater mina mitzvos. So number one, says Rashi, is going to be exempt from mitzvos. Number two, says Rashi, mina onish. He's not subject to punishment. And number three, says Rashi, there he continues, ve'ein kinyan o kinyan. Any acquisition that he makes is not going to be an acquisition. And ve'ein memker o memker. And the sale is not going to be a sale. Seemingly a repeated point in Rashi, right? Three and four seem to be the same point. Maybe there's a difference between them. But anyway, but this is a general discussion that we're having right here in Chagiga. So tucked away in the end of Seder Moed, a very basic discussion in terms of describing mental competence and mental incompetence and trying to give clinical diagnosis of what is considered insane. So Ezu Shota, so over here we have numerous examples. Yotzi Yechida Balayla. Somebody goes out at night, v'alam be'beis hakvar, somebody who sleeps in the cemetery, v'amakaris k'suso, or someone tearing his clothing. Okay, so at this point in time, we have a b'risa. The b'risa gives us three examples. It's at this point, at this juncture, that's a little bit unclear. Do we need all three? Do we need these to be repeated actions? Are these examples? Are they the only criteria in which we're going to define the person? So there's a lot of open-ended questions. Some of them we're going to answer, not all of them. Itmar, Rav Huna, Amar, Achihu, Kulam, Bevasacha. So the first of the questions that we're going to at least attempt to answer is that we gave three examples. All three? So Rav Huna says, yeah, all three. So in other words, for someone to have the diagnosis of being a Shota, so you need to have all three of the examples that we just cited. Rav Yochan, Amar, Afila, Ba'achas, Mehen. And Rav Yochan says, no, even one of them. If the person behaves with just one of the examples that we cited, so the person is going to be considered a Shota. Now, Hechidami, the Gemara says, okay, I'd like a little more context and a lot more clarification. So if it's derech shtos, meaning if it's something where there's just totally, perfectly irrational behavior, where there is simply no logical explanation, no reasonable explanation behind it, so then what difference does it make whether he does one of the examples, two or three of the examples? Afilu achas, even if he just did one of them, he would be considered a Shota. And if there is a rational explanation for everyone's behaviors, so then he's not considered a Shota. Safilu kulonami, lo. Even if he did all three of them, if there is some justifiable explanation in terms of why he's sleeping in a cemetery and momentarily we're going to give one, so then he shouldn't be considered a Shota, even if he exhibits all three. So la'olam deka'avilahu derech shtos. So the Gemara says, no, really the truth of the matter is that he's doing it derech shtos. He's doing it for what seems to be irrational purposes. V'alam b'vesek for same kedeshin tishra alav ruch tuma hu deka'avid. Now, for the first time that he sleeps in the cemetery, so here's what we can argue on his behalf, meaning he's not explaining it, but we could suggest the following, and that is that right now he's trying to get his sorcery going. In other words, back in the day when the sorcery was prevalent, and you know, everyone here knows it's a machlokes rishonim whether sorcery actually existed or didn't exist, but regardless, even if it's just perceived sorcery. But still, in other words, how do you get the evil spirits going? So you get them going by sleeping in the cemetery. And vayotzi chidah b'layla emor gandari pas achdei. And somebody walking out alone at night. So it could be that he's seized by, Rashi describes it as some sort of heightened anxiety, and he just and he needs to get out. So v'hamakari is ksusa emor ba'machshavasu. So, and if he tears his clothing on one occasion, so one can make the argument that right now he's just lost in his thoughts, meaning that he is still of sane mind. It just happens to be that right now he was just totally preoccupied with some other thought. So, but Kevin Davdin Lakulu, so if he did one of these activities, then even though it's derech shtos, meaning even though it seems like it's irrational behavior, but we could come up with an explanation of why he's engaging in any one of these particular behaviors. However, Kevin Davdin Lakulu, but once we see him doing all three of these actions, so Havlu Kamishan Agashur Hamor Vagamal Vanasamu Lachol, it would be no different than an ox goring, another ox, a donkey, a camel. So what's the halacha? This is a Baba Kama halacha. And the halacha is that in order for an animal to go from a tam to a muad, so that means to say that he has to have repeated exhibition of that behavior three times, the chazaka. And if, let's say, for example, that the animal is going after everybody. The animal is going after all different types of animals. Another ox, a donkey, a camel. So the halach is now that he's a muad, lakol. We assume now that basically this animal is just is simply off tilt. The animal is going to attack everything and anything. The owner now has that extra responsibility of protecting and guarding it. The owner now is going to have liability for nezek shalim, for full damages. Okay, so the point is over here is that once you see repeated behavior on different on different actions, I know we're, it's an interesting comparison, by the way. We're going from animal to people. But nevertheless, the point is that once we see repeated action, repeated behaviors, and it does not, and it, right, and there's no regard for who the intended victim is, so the animal's considered a muad lakol, and here as well, in our Gemara, so the person who exhibits all these behaviors is now going to be considered and qualified as a shota. So Amra Papa Yishmiel Eile Rav Huna Haditanya. Okay, so where are we at right now? We're trying to give clinical definition to what is a shota. So we had a brisa. The brisa give three examples. Machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. Do you have to exhibit all three, or is it sufficient if you exhibit one? Rav Huna says all three. Rav Yochanan says you only have to exhibit one. And now the Gemara goes on to comment the following. So Amra Papa Yishmiel Eile Rav Huna Haditanya. Now if Rav Huna would have heard the following, meaning Had he known about the following brisa, Ezu Shota. What's the brisa? The brisa reads, what's a Shota? Zema b'kol mashenosnelo. So you give him something to hold, and what does he do? He loses it. He immediately loses it. So, and it happens again and again. But the point is that it's just simply one behavior. It may get repeated, but nevertheless, it's one behavior. So, hava hadarbe. So, if Rav Huna would have known that brisa, so then he would have retracted from his position. In this brisa, it becomes clear that you don't need to exhibit multiple quote-unquote insane behaviors, even if you only exhibit one insane behavior, but nevertheless, it's an insane behavior, so you're considered a shota. You qualify now as a shota. So if Rav Huna would know this brisa, so he would have changed his viewpoint. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm with you, but still, I'm not totally sure. Ibai lehuki, hava hadarbe mi mekara kisuso, hu da'avad hadarbe, didami laha, hu dilma mikulu hava hadar, teku. Now, the Bryce's example over here is that whatever you give him, he loses. So that means to say that he has no regard for anything with value. And what he does is that he loses it, or in the first Bryce's case, he destroys it. Hamakaris ksusa. So what the Gemara is contemplating for a moment now is that maybe Rav Huna will retract, but not a full retraction. Maybe he'll retract on the case of just damaging property, right? You give him something, he loses it. He takes his own clothing, he tears it. Okay, so he has total disregard for any of his own property. So maybe if that were, in terms of a rejection, Rav Huna would retract from that. But as far as the other behaviors, sleeping in a cemetery, walking out alone at night, maybe with those other behaviors, maybe he didn't have a rejection. Maybe those behaviors in and of themselves are insufficient grounds for a clinical diagnosis of insanity. And maybe for those behaviors, it needs to be compounded with other behaviors as well. Take with the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. So we're unsure. We're pretty sure that Rav Huna would have retracted from his position. We're unsure in terms of the degree of the retraction.
When you say koma habit koma shilosulam, that means he had done it more than once.
Yeah, but correct. Agreed. But it's the same. But it's the same behavior. Meaning, it's not different behaviors, right?
You wouldn't know from the first time.
Rav Huna, correct. Agreed. Rav Huna, right. The first time it could be an accident, right? But once you see it's repeated, that's fine. Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan are arguing about whether or not you also need to see other types of behaviors as well. So Rav Huna says you do, Rav Yochanan says you do not. And then the question of how to what degree Rav Huna rejected from his position. All this seems to be, the Gemara's discussion that we just entertained seems to be not a halachic discussion as the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan. Right? Rav Yochanan says, afilo ba'achas mehem, meaning that even if you exhibit one of these, so you are going to be considered a shota. Then another question, which I touched on moments earlier, and I'm going to reset, although I don't have a definitive answer. So we now have three examples that are given to us in the Braisa, so really a fourth if you want to count this last Braisa that we just learned together. So we have four different examples that are given to us in the Gemara in terms of what is going to assess a person, diagnose a person as being clinically insane, being a shota. Are these the only examples? Meaning, can't we come up with numerous other examples where they are irrational behaviors, insane behaviors, and the person should register as a shota? Let me rephrase this in another way. Is our Gemara over here giving us the comprehensive list of examples in which a person can be diagnosed as a shota? Or no? The Gemara is just simply giving us examples. You read the Rambam. I don't have the Rambam in front of me, forgive me. But if you read the Rambam, you get the sense from the Rambam that these are just but examples. Meaning, obviously, there are many different behaviors which could qualify as insane behaviors. And our Gemara over here is just giving us some examples. But Anechanami, of course, there would be other examples as well. That would be a simple reading of the Rambam. Admittedly, I'm not reading the Rambam to you right now. Anyway, but that's another really basic question. We continue in the Gemara. Tumtum van Jaganos, Tan Rabbanan, Zachor. So we're looking now at the Psukim by the mitzvah of Re'iyah, La'otzi Tzanashim. So Zachor tells me that women are exempt. Zachor Cha, La'otzi Tumtum van Jaganos. So the fact that it says Zachor Cha, which is that extra letter, which allows for an additional drasha, so that excludes the Tumtum and Androgynous. And Kol Zachor Cha, L'Rabbas is a Ketanim. And Kol, so that is a Ribuin that comes to include Ketanim. That's the Braisa. Lots of questions. Let's go one by one. Amar Mar, it's either Mishpatim or Re'e. The psukim of the mitzvah of Re'iyah is both. So it's both in Mishpatim, that's Perichav Gimel, and it's in Parshas Re'e as well. So it's from one of the two. So if I had to guess, I'd say Mishpatim, but there's no point in guessing. It's either or. So Tan Rabbanan Zechor La is fine. So Amar Mar, Zechor La Otzei Sanashim. So when it says Zachor, so it's coming to exclude women. So the Gemara says, I need exclusion for women. So the Gemara says, how does that work? Halama likra. Mechti, mitzvah sesei shazman grama, uvichol mitzvah sesei shazman grama, nashim peturos. So here we're going to ask them one of the most fundamental questions, which is we know that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. This is clearly a time-bound mitzvah. It's on the calendar. So of course women are exempt. I don't need a special drasha over here to tell me that women are exempt. So it's the Rich, the Gemara says, no, it's here, it's necessary. So the Gemara says, here's the Havamina. Havamina would have been that, remember yesterday's daf? So we had an open Gzera Shava connecting Re'iya to Hakel. And we know that women are obligated in Hakel. So Malahala Nashim Chayav is Avkan Nashim Chayav is Kamash Malan. So over there by Hakel, women are obligated. The Torah says so. So over here, via the Gzera Shava, I would say that women are obligated as well. That's why I need a special drasha to tell me that women are exempt. Okay. Amar Mar. Zechor Cha La'otzi Tumtum Va'Androgynos. So the Zechor Cha is coming to exclude a Tumtum and Androgynos. So things we know already, but let's just quickly review. So Tumtum is somebody whose genitalia is covered. There's a membrane covering the area. And so therefore we do not know there is no exhibition of what genitalia is underneath the membrane. So the person could be male, could be female. We just simply don't know. Androgynous is where the person is exhibiting both male and female genitalia. The word androgynous is actually a compound of andro, which is man, and gyn, which is a Greek word for the woman. So androgynous is both somebody exhibiting both genitalia. So the Gemara says that we have a pasuk excluding both of them from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. So Bishlam androgynous itzrich sakadat chamin ahove islay tzad zachros lechayev. So the Gemara says for androgynous, I certainly understand why we have a drasha. Because consider the fact that in addition to female genitalia, he also has male genitalia. So as a result of that, I could have made a very simple argument. With the male genitalia, that would be mechayevim in the mitzvah. So he has a tzad zachros. So kamash malan deber yu b'fnei atzmahu. So the drush is coming to tell me that, no, we have to put him in a new category. What new category? So the new category is that there's a third box, meaning there's male, there's female, and there's androgynous. Androgynous is it's a bear bif natsum, it's its own category. And so being that it's its own category, so therefore, so he's not a zachor. Now, parenthetically, by the way, this seems to be a very global point, meaning that once we're creating a new category for this androgynous, so ostensibly it's not just limited now to the mitzvah of Riyah, or potentially also apply to other mitzvahs as well. Not sure about that point, but certainly something to consider. Ela tumtum, sveikahu. So, but let's now consider a tumtum. So what is a tumtum? That's exactly it. We don't know. In other words, the membrane is covering the area. So mitzvah kar lemute, sveika. So do I need a pasuk to exclude him? Meaning it's a suffix. I don't need a pasuk to exclude him. Now let's just for a moment sit on that line of the Gemara. That was a very significant statement the Gemara just said. The Gemara just taught us that because we don't know, so I don't need a pasuk to exclude him. He's already excluded because he's a suffix. Well, what does that mean? What do we normally say regarding a suffix? We say that when it's a suffix, especially if it's a suffix daraisa, so we would be machmir. And the Gemara over here writes that, well, if it's a suffix, well, of course he's already excluded. Well, that's a very significant statement. And here we're going to touch on, this comes up a number of times throughout Chas, but this is like one of the main locations in which to discuss. So we're going to touch on a basic machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. The Rambam's of the opinion that we do say Safik Daraisa L'Chumra. But the Rambam says, you know why we're Machmir? Because the rabbis told us to be a Machmir. That's a Din D'Rabbanan. That Safik Daraisa really, in other words, without rabbinic intervention, what would we say by a Safik? We're going to be Mekel. That's what we would say fundamentally by a Safik. But the Chachamim stepped in and the Chachamim said, we're going to be Machmir. And it's Safik Daraisa. So that's the Rambam Shita, that the Safik Daraisa L'Chumra, that's a Din D'Rabbanan. Our Gemara over here gives unbelievable support for that position. Because our Gemara is effectively saying that if we had the Tumtum who is a Safik, without the Pasuk, we would be Mekel. He wouldn't go. Okay. So, and the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba says that Safik Daraisa L'Chumra is a Din D'Raisa, not a Din D'Rabbanan, making our Gemara a little bit more difficult to read according to the Rashba. Okay. We're just touching on this topic. This is a really big topic. But meanwhile, our Gemara certainly is supporting, a simple reading of our Gemara is a support to the Rambam. So Amar Abaye. So, question on the table. Why do I need a drasha to exclude a tumtum? We don't need a pasuk to exclude a tumtum. Tumtum is a safek that we would have never required the tumtum to do aliyah l'rego, to do the mitzvah of Re'iyah. So Amar Abaye, chishabetz of mibachutz. So Abaye says, no, I'll tell you where we need the drasha. We need the drasha where it's not a full tumtum, it's a partial tumtum. What does that mean? So that means that the beitzim are in view. They're external. They're outside of this membrane. So we know that this person is a zacher. We know for sure. It just happens to be that the gid is covered. So under those circumstances now, it is no longer a suffix, meaning we know the identity, we know the gender. The gender is male. It just happens to be that. Now we have a xeris akasim. Now we have a drasha, where the drasha tells us that even though we know the identity, but because the gid is covered, so the person is now excluded. Why? Xeris HaKasuf. Amar Markozu Chorcha L'Rabbas is a Ketanim. So, we have a Riboy for Ketanim. So the Gemara asks a simple question about Tanan. Chutz Misher Cheroshot V'Katan. It's a really simple question. Go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah excluded a Katan. So now, we have a Braisa that includes a Katan, and our Mishnah, meanwhile, excludes a Katan. That's difficult. Very difficult. So Amar Abaye Lo Kasha Kam B'Kan She'Gil L'Chinuch Kam B'Kan She'Lo Yigil L'Chinuch. So Abaye's answer, which you would have expected because this answer comes up all the time, and that is, there's a katan and then there's a katan. The katan who has not yet arrived at the age of chinuch, so he is exempt altogether. The braisa that says that he's included is talking about where the katan now is getting closer to bar mitzvah. Now he is a bar chinuch, and therefore he's obligated. So katan shegi lechinuch derabbanan hi. So the Gemara says, wait one second. The mitzvah of chinuch, that's a din derabanan. That's not a din daraisa. How can you have a drasha teaching us about chinuch when meanwhile it's a din derabanan? So enachinami, the Gemara says, you are absolutely correct. It is a din derabanan. And meanwhile, kras machta ba'alma, as far as the pasuk is concerned, so the pasuk is just an asmachta. It's just there to support the din derabanan. So ve'ela krala mayasa. So the Gemara says, fine. So now we have a superfluous pasuk, because we don't need the pasuk now to teach me about a cotton. The word kol, which we thought is coming to include a cotton, really is not. Even though the Braisa said it, it's just an asmachta. So the word kol now is extra. So what is it coming to teach me? So the Gemara says, lichad acherim. It's coming to teach me the following. The shitas acherim, which is the following. It probably should say detanya. Acherim omem, mekametz v'amitzarif v'nechoshes v'aborsi. So you have people that's involved in work that's really dirty and really smelly. Okay, let's start off with mekametz. Okay, so Rashi describes over here the mekametz. So based on the Gemara and Ksuvos, is that he has to deal in dog excrement. Why does his job require him to do so? So Rashi suggests that maybe it has to do with part of the tanning process. Anyway, he's handling dog excrement all day. Okay, the Gemara and Ksuvos, Rashi quotes it over here. The Gemara and Ksuvos discusses this in terms of a husband-wife relationship. Obviously, if this is a man's profession, that's going to be really difficult for the wife. How does the marriage work under those circumstances? What can the wife demand of the husband under those circumstances? That's the Gemara and Ksuvos. Anyway, our Gemara over here is just dealing with another halacha related to the fact that he's foul. And I don't mean, and God forbid, I'm not talking about his personality, I'm not talking about his neshama. I'm just talking about he smells. So under those circumstances, when you have a person who's involved in a job where he smells, and not just the mekametz, but mitzarif, nechoshes, borsi. So I'm not going to go through the details of what each one of the jobs are, but they're foul-smelling jobs. And so the person now employed in such a job just smells bad. So peturim min ha-ri'iyah. So he's going to be exempt from the mitzvah of ri'iyah. Mishum shenemar kol zechorcha. So it says kol zechorcha, mishiyachol alosim kol zechorcha, yasu eila, she'enem ru'uyos alosim kol zechorcha. So they can't go with their brethren, meaning to be in a congested area with somebody that foul-smelling, so that's going to be really difficult on everybody else. And so therefore he's going to be putter. So it's funny, this is one of those instances where it's a drasha, but tama dover. In other words, over here, totally understand the reason why, right? It's an unfair expectation for somebody to have such a foul odor to be expected to be congested in an area with so many other people. It's not a tenable position. Therefore, the Torah gives such an individual a legitimate exemption where he doesn't have to do the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Okay. Nashim v'avanim sheinim v'shucharim bishlam and nashim kedam maran. So, what do we say? That a woman is going to be exempt. So, we already explained why a woman is exempt on what basis. But when it comes to avadim, el avadim in alan. So, how do I know that an Evan is going to be exempt? So, am revun amakra, alpanei ha'adon Hashem. Mi she'ein lo ela adon echad yatzezeh, she'esh lo adon acher. So, the Gemara says, we have a drasha. So, the drasha over here, this is mishpatim, right? The psukim in mishpatim. So, the drasha tells us that who is going to have the mitzvah of aliyah l'rego, the mitzvah of ri'iyah, somebody who doesn't already have a master, but an eved. By the way, when we say eved over here, we mean eved kanani. When we say, but by an eved, who does have an adon, right, his master, so therefore he's going to be exempt. So the Gemara says, halam alikra. So the Gemara says, wait one second, can we slow this down for just a moment? Back it up. We have a drasha that tells me that the eved kanani is pater. I knew that already, didn't I? Michti. We know that the level of obligation for Eved Kenani is that going to be of a woman. We have a Gzeres Shava equating the two of them. Whatever mitzvah a woman is obligated in, and Eved Kenani is going to be obligated in as well. So over here, we already know the woman's exempted from Re'iyah, and Eved Kenani should also be exempt from Re'iyah. So what is the... why do I need an additional drasha? That's a strong question. I say it's a strong question. An Eved Kenani is the same of a woman, but the Eved Kenani also has a mitzvah bris milah. Obviously, a woman's going to be exempt from bris milah. Okay, so it's not a perfect equation, but nevertheless so. The assumption... Yes. Right, correct. But the assumption is over here is that if a woman is not obligated to do the mitzvah of Re'iyah, so an Eved Kenani as well is not going to be obligated. So this is now a callback to Daf Beis, where we heard the Shita Ravina back on Daf Beis, but now we hear it in context. Ravina says, that's what we're describing over here. We're describing not a full-fledged Eved Kanani. You are right. The full-fledged Eved Kanani, Yadanu. We knew already that he's exempt because he's compared to an Isha. How about a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin? Ah, so that's a Chiddush. So the Chiddush over here is that half of him is free. Okay, so now I would have thought that he's obligated. That's what the Drasha is coming to teach me. That because he has Adon Acher, albeit it's only 50% of him that has Adon Acher, but still he has Adon Acher, therefore he's going to be Pater from the Mitzvah of Riyya. In fact, Ravina says, you read the Mishnah carefully. I'm telling you, it's in the Mishnah. You just have to read it carefully. Because what does the Mishnah say? An Eved She'ena Meshuchrar, that's not freed. That's a description of every single Eved Kanani. So my She'ena Meshuchrar, Mile She'ena Meshuchrar, Klal, Lisei Avadim Stama. You want to tell me an Eved She'ena Meshuchrar? I have another word to describe it. It's called an Eved. Right? That's an Eved She'ena Meshuchrar. So why is the Mishnah using such strange language to describe him? So Alalav She'ena Meshuchrar, Legamre. So the Gemara says, so the Chiddush is that we're talking about is Eina Meshuchrar, meaning he's partially Meshuchrar and partially not, i.e. he's a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. So Misha Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, Mishma Mina. Okay, good. Now, as Rabbi Zimmerman points out, but didn't we learn that you're forced to have to go free? So remember, that's what we did on Daf Beis. That was the Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achrona. So in the Mishnah Achrona, so that's exactly what we did. And Rashi right over here reminds us of the Mishnah Rishon Mishnah Achrona. So yes, eventually what happened is that we force the remaining partner to set him free, and we're going to treat him right now as if he's free. That's true. That's the Mishnah Achrona. But in the Mishnah Rishona, so he's going to be in this middle state, in this limbo state of being Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Charen. Consequently, he may be obligated in the mitzvah of Riyah. We have a drasha to tell us he's not obligated in the mitzvah of Riyah. And to compare him to a woman in this case is not a fair comparison because half of him is free. Okay. Ha'chigav asumah v'chol v'azakin, ten rabbanan. Raglayim. So, or rigalim. So the Torah describing the mitzvah of Re'iyah says shalosh rigalim. Now again, in context, it's talking about the yontif. But what we're also going to understand is that it's talking about your legs. So pra'la bale kavin. It means that you have to have your legs. Which means to say that if your legs are amputated and you have some sort of prosthetic, you're exempt. Davar acher, another pshat, regalim prat lechiger. Or another way to say it is that you have legs, they just simply don't work. So you're going to have an exemption as well. Lechol lesum lezakein, ulsheinu yechol alos beraglav. Now, presumably, every one of these examples, in addition to the chiger, is all a description of somebody who just simply can't make it. He is either sick, he is blind, he's elderly, or eino yachol la'alos beraglav, or for whatever reason, he can't walk. V'sheinu yachol la'alos beraglav, l'sui amai. Now, the end of that braisa, so we already gave an exhaustive list of people who can't walk. So when the braisa ends and says, and anyone who can't walk, well, isn't that everyone we just discussed? So the Gemara says, what's that coming to conclude? I'm Rav la'asuye, mifan ke. So Rav says it's coming to include somebody who's a mifunak. What does that mean? It means somebody who's fastidious, somebody who's highly sensitive. Look at Rashi on the top of the Amud. Shein hochim below minal. In other words, the person just simply will not walk without shoes. Now, we all know the halacha. Once you step foot on the azara, what do you have to do? You have to take off your shoes. So this person's a mifunak. He just simply can't do it. So Rashi points out, Einan dem nichnas ahar bais minalo dechsiv mi bikesh zos mi alchem ramos chatzerai. We're going to quote the pasuk in Yishayahu momentarily. So because he's such a mifunak, so therefore he's going to have an exemption. Okay. The mifunakim in general discussed throughout Shas in terms of they have a heightened sensitivity. They're just highly sensitive people. So the to say they're overly sensitive, that's being judgmental. I try to avoid it, not always successfully, but in other words, a highly sensitive person. It's interesting. The Gemara over here gives such an individual a legitimate patur from the mitzvah of Riyah because of his heightened sensitivity. So the and how do I know that such an individual is in fact, how do I know that you have to take off your shoes when going to our bais? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk Yeshayahu, Dichsiv, we're back in the Gemara, top line. Ki savo leros panai, mi bikejos miyadchem ramos chatzerai. Who asked from you to trample on my chatzer? Meaning that when you go into my chatzer, you can't trample, i.e. you can't wear shoes. Okay. You look at the pasuk in context, it's not really referring to wearing shoes, not wearing shoes. In other words, the Navi Yeshayahu he's giving tochacha, meaning I don't want you here. That whatever. It has to do more with Musa than it has to do with halacha. Tosus also points out over here, it sounds like we have a much more basic source that tells me that when I go into a makom kadosh, you have to take off shoes. Right? Who am I describing? Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu. So Tosus points out the Gemara in Brachos uses that pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu as a source that you have to take off your shoes. Okay, so and Tosus gives a reason why our Gemara over here quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu, not the pasuk in Chumash. Okay, Tana, we go on. So who else is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Ri'iyah? So somebody is an Aro and someone is a Tamei. Now, Bishlam Tamei Dichtiv Avasa Shama Veveisam Shama Kol Sheishna Bebiya Yeshna Ba'ava V'chol Sheina Bebiya Ina Ba'ava. So as far as the Tamei is concerned, so the Gemara says, I totally get it. Meaning, why is the Tamei going to be exempt? Now, what are we excusing him from? So we're excusing him from Ri'iyah. And remember, we made this point on day one of our Masechta, otherwise known 2 days ago. So we made this point on day one, and this is a really important point that we just have to continue to remember. And that is when we talk about the mitzvah of Ri'iyah, it's a compound mitzvah. One, you have to be in the Azara. Two, you have to bring a carbon ola. Okay. When somebody's Tameh, so what can he do and what can't he do? So I'll tell you what he can do. He can bring a carbon. Ah, but he's Tameh. Yeah, but he could send it with a shliach. I'll tell you what he can't do. He can't be in the Azara. His Tumah is going to preclude him from going into the Azara. So, without the Gemara's point, so I might have entertained the following. Okay, so let him bring his carbon via shliach, and he just simply won't go into the Azara. That's the Chiddush that we're learning together right now. We're learning the Chiddush that, no, there it's a package deal. If you're obligated in one, you're obligated in the other. If you're exempt in one, you're going to be exempt from the other. Ah, so good. So now we're learning that the two have to go necessarily go hand in hand. And that's what I just read. I'm going to read it again, again. Kol she yeshna bebiya, yeshna bahava. And kol she eina bebiya, eina bahava. So if you're obligated in the mitzvah of biya, meaning to go into the azara, so then you also have the mitzvah of hava, to bring the carbon. But once you're excluded from biya, meaning once you can't go into the azara, so then you're also going to be excluded from the carbon as well. Okay. So...
Right. Being outside,
no, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Biyah, but you can fulfill the mitzvah of Hava. You send your carbon in with a shliach. You could do that.
No, we were entertaining that
you could send a shliach and you can still fulfill Ri'iyah. Ri'iyah is a compound. Ri'iyah has in it the mitzvah of being in the Azara and bringing the carbon.
Both.
So, right. So what we entertain for a moment is that even though I can't go into the Azara, but I could still bring my carbon in with a shliach, so maybe I should do that. And just do one of the two. That's the entertainment. And the Gemara's conclusion is no. They, it's a package deal. And if once you're exempt from one, you're exempt from the other.
Yire Yihore means the Rebbeinu wants to see you, so you got to be there.
I'm just going to end up repeating myself. Afterwards, you can ask me again. And I'll try to say it even better. So Ella Arel Minalan. So the Gemara says, what about Arel? So Hamani Rebbe Kivahi. So as far as Arel is concerned, so it is, in other words, an Arel being exempt, Shitus Rebbe Kiva. Demar Bil Arel Ketame, because Rebbe Kiva is basically going to put Arel in the same category as Tame. So Detan Rebbe Kiva Amar Ishish L'Rabba says Arel. So in Parshas Amor, so the Ish is coming to me, Marben Arel. So Tana Rabbanan Tamei Patam Nereh Dichsiv Avata Shama Veveisem Shama. Kol Sheyeshna Bevia Yeshna Ba'ava V'chol Sheyna Bevia Eina Ba'ava. So in the Braisa. So once again, same point. That the two aspects of Ri'iyah, Ri'iyah Sazara and Olas Ri'iyah, are hand in hand. You're obligated in one, you're obligated in the other, you're exempt from one, you're exempt from the other. Rav Yochem and Da'avai Omer Mishem Rav Yudah Suma V'achas Meina Patam Nereh Ri'iyah. So this sheet, that if you're blind in one eye, you're exempt from Ri'iyah Shenemar. Okay, the Bryce over here, which we saw already earlier in the Masechta, but nevertheless, the point is that somebody whose tummy is going to be exempt from both aspects of Ri'iyah, and even an Arel, according to Rabbi Akiva as well, is going to be exempt. He can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, so again, so maybe he can. The point is that from Rabbi Akiva's standpoint, whatever is true by a tummy is going to be true by an Arel. I'm so happy you raised that. That was going to be my next point. Okay, Ben, we're in sync. And the and so remember in the on day one, so I said Rashi's back. So so here now I'm going to say it again. Rashi's back. So by Moed Katan we weren't sure if the Rashi is the actual Rashi or is it someone trying to fill in for Rashi. But over here Rashi writes over here that when we talk about an RL, look what Rashi writes over here. Yisol Shemeso Achav Echav Machmas Mila. By the way, it could be somebody else, you know, who knows Rashi and is writing over here. But Rashi says this every single time we talk about an Arel. So Rashi says, why is he an Arel? So not his fault, he's an Ones. His brothers died because of the Mila. They had hemophilia in the family, whatever it is. And so legitimately, the parents did not give him a Mila. In other words, if we're talking about a Sakana, so you don't do a Mila in the case of Sakana. Even by suffix Sakana, you don't do a Mila. So over here, the parents didn't do a Mila, and still, he's going to have the label of being an Arel. So not here in our Gemara, but Rabbi Natan throughout Shas argues with Rashi. He says that such an individual is, in fact, not an Arel, meaning he's an Ones. You can't put him in the category of an Arel. Okay, good. That's the machlokes between Rashi and Rabbi Natan throughout Shas. But anyway, Rashi writes over here, it's Mesum Echav Machmas Mila, which Rashi writes throughout Shas. Let's finish up. Rav Huna. We are on Dalmud Beis. We are just short of the halfway mark on the Amud, and for the remainder of today's daf, so we're going to be hearing a little bit of Agarita. Rav Huna came out to like cry Yireh Bachi. So when Rav Huna got to the pasuk, so he would start crying. Amar Evich Rabba Metzapel Liroso Yisrachek Mimenu. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu longed to see us. He really desired to see us. And meanwhile, Hakadosh Baruch Hu then ended up rejecting us. Dichsiv Ki Savo Laros Panai Mi Bikeshos Miadchem Ramos Chatzirai. Quotes from the beginning of Yeshayahu. We just quoted it on the top of our Amud, which is that Akash Baruch Hu basically says, I don't want to see you anymore. Rav Huna kimat lai kra bachi. Rav Huna got, when he got to the following pasuk, he would cry. V'zavachtu shlamim v'achalto sham. Evesh rabba mitzapel l'achol al shulchano. Yisrachek mimena dichziv. Lamali roziv chaychem yomar Hashem. So over here, once again, a contrast between the pasuk in Parshas Ki Savo, where Akash Baruch Hu wants us to be in his house eating karbanos. And meanwhile, once again, we turn back to the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu, first Perek, and Akash Baruch Hu says, I don't want all your kabanas. Rabbi Lazar kimat alai kra bachi. Rabbi Lazar would cry when he got to the following pasuk. V'lo yachlu achav la'anos oso, ki nivhalu mipanav. When Yosef announced himself to his brothers, that Yosef, the brothers were totally dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say. So, matochacha shabasa v'dam kachtocha shalkash baruch hu, alachas kama v'kama. So a little tochacha from another person and the brothers had no answer. And imagine when we meet our maker after 120 years, we're not going to have any answers as well. Okay, so we got Rabbi Elazar to tears. Rabbi Elazar, let me just finish up. Rabbi Elazar kimat alai kra bachi. So when Rabbi Elazar got to the following pasuk, so he was crying. Vayamar Shmuel Shaul, lama hir gaz tani la lo sosi. So why did you bother me? So Shaul brought up the dead, not just the dead, but Shmuel. And Shmuel was bothered. Umashmuel atzadik hayam isyari min adin. Ainu alachas kama v'kama. Now Shmuel was worried about din. So if Shmuel's worried about din, where does it put the rest of us? So Shmuel mahi, so as far as Shmuel's concerned, so what are the details over there? Dichsiv. V'tamar Yishal Shaul alakim reisa olim. So as far as this woman is concerned who conjured up, who brought up Shmuel, so what does she say? She says, I see olim. I bring people up. So Olim Trey Mashma. So as far as Olim is concerned, so she only brought up one. Who's the second person? So Chad Shmuel ve'idach da'azo Shmuel ve'asya la'moshe behadein. So Shmuel was one, the other one was Moshe. Now Amr le demachas v'shalom l'dina mitba'inei kum ba'adai de'leket milsa de'chatzav de'baraisa de'lo kiyam tiyam. And with Shmuel, the reason why Shmuel brought up Moshe is because Shmuel didn't understand why he was being brought up. Thought he was being brought up for din. So he says, wait one second, I'm going to be brought up for din. Moshe Rabbeinu, could you please come with me? Be like a little bit of a defense lawyer for me. It'd be extraordinarily helpful. Okay. So, and again, the point over here is Rav Elazar's comment is that if Shmuel's worried about din, certainly that's going to make us worried about din as well. Rabbi Ami kimat laikra bachi. When Rabbi Ami got to the following pasuk, he would cry, Yitim bafar piyu ulay yesh tikva. So you'll put dirt in your mouth and maybe, ulay yesh tikva. Who knows? So the Gemara says, "Amar kulei haivu ulai," and you're going to go through all that trouble, and maybe. So Rabbi Ami came out to lai krabachi. When Rabbi Ami got to the following pasuk, he cried, "Bikshu tzedek, bikshu anava, ulai tisteru biyom af Hashem." So ask for tzedek, ask for anava, And maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't be so angry. So Amar Kulei Hai V'Ulai, again, the same comment. We're going to go through all that trouble. And maybe, Rabbi Asik Yamatalai Kra Bachi, Shinu Rav V'Av Utov V'Hitzigu B'Shar Mishpat, Ulai Yechanein Hashem Elokei Tzvakos. So once again, hate the wicked and love good and seek justice and who knows, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have some rachmanas. So kulei hai v'ulai, again same point. Rav Yosef matalai kra bachi v'yesh nisvav v'lo mishpat. So Rav Yosef noted the pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei says that some of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu collects and sometimes a little too early. Person was supposed to have a couple more years on this earth. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now. So to which the Gemara's comment is, what? So does that happen? Amar, mi ika daza below zmanei. Person can be taken before his time. So in, the Gemara says, yeah, it happens. So ki had Rabbi Bibi Barabai havishchech gabe malchamaves. So the Gemara tells the following story that Rav Bibi Barabai was by the malchamaves. So we just finished Moed Katan. We're at the end of Moed Katan. So we had a number of dialogues between the Amoraim and the malchamaves. So here now, Tack this one on. So Amar Leil Shluchei Zil Isaac Miriam Magdala Sheir Nasha. So the Malcham Avis tells the following: I need you to bring me Miriam Magdala Sheir Nasha. Now, the identity of this woman. So it's really interesting to see Tosus on the bottom over here for a guide in terms of who the identity of this woman is. So Aza Isaac Miriam Magdala Dardike. So now we came back with Miriam. Just happens to be a different Miriam, the wrong Miriam. So Amalei, Anna Miriam Magdala Sharnasha, Amilach. Oh boy, you didn't follow instructions really well. I asked for Miriam Magdala. So Amalei, Ihachi Ahadre. So he says, okay, so let's just bring her back. So Amalei, Holvi, Icy Lehava Leminyana. So he says, look, I have a quota. I don't fully understand all this, but no, fine. I have a quota. And so, you know what? As long as I have her anyway. Okay, so let me just add her. So, Ella Hechi Achadle. But the problem, of course, is that it's not her time. So, how am I supposed to take her if it's not her time? So, I have Nikita mit Arya Biadava Havakashagra. So, the Gemara says, well, she had some sort of poker in her hand, some sort of hot stick. Umachre Tanura. So, and what she was doing is that she was filling the oven. So, Shakaltava Anachta Agavadakara. And so what happened was is that basically he had her by accident have the poker hit her foot and kalcha v'itra maza v'aisia. So now with the burnt foot, so the mazel changes. Okay. Again, I'm not here to fully understand or appreciate all this, but somehow he was able to change her mazel. Amale Rabbi Barbaye isle reshusa lemeavet hache. So Rabbi Barbaye says to the Malcham Avis, really? Like you could do that? Amale v'loksiv v'yesh nesva b'lo mishpat. So the Malcham Avis quotes the Pasuk of Mishlei. Yeah, I could do that. The Pasuk of Mishlei says I could take people even before the time. Amalei v'aksiv dor holech v'dor ba. So he says, isn't every generation pretty much a fixed generation? Meaning people are living to a specific time and they can't be taken early. So Amar darinu luhu ana adama luhu ladara. So he says, look, here's what I do. And that is I hold them until the door is finished. V'hadar mishalmino le ladom. And then I hand them over to Doma. So Doma, that's a mach, that's in charge of the neshamas. Amalei sof, shanya mai ave. So he says, okay, but those are years that you took off of that woman's life. And so what do you do with those years? Meaning, okay, so you put the woman on hold. But what about those years? Amrei, katsur b'mirabanan, demave b'mili, so masvina lehu. So what I do is that let's say I have a young tamachacham, so I give it to the young tamachacham. V'hav yechilu fa. And that will be the exchange for the years of that woman. Okay. Good. that's difficult. Just, I'm sorry. Just give me a second. Give me a second. Okay. So what we have right now is the following. Let's quickly recap our daf today. So we start off today with a shota. So what is the definition of a shota? So we saw Brisa. Brisa gave us three examples. Machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, vis-a-vis whether I need to exhibit all three examples or just one of them is sufficient. Rav Yochanan says one. Rav Huna says all three. But then the Gemara ended up conceding the fact that Rav Huna may have retracted from his position, ulai, right, to quote from the end of today's daf. Tumtuman and Jaganas are going to be exempted from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. So how do we know that? So the Gemara asks, the Gemara assumes that it's a drasha, but the Gemara says we don't need drashas, not for Nashim, not for Tumtum, not for Androgynous. The Gemara concedes that for Tumtum we don't need a drasha. For androgynous, we do need a drasha. Okay, and the Gemara goes on to explain. A katan sounds like we had a drasha to include a katan. So the Gemara says that's talking about a katan who arrived at chinuch. Katan arrived at chinuch, isn't it a din de rabbanon? The Gemara conceded, yeah, you're right. So then what calls the chorcha, what is that coming to include? Somebody who's foul-smelling. Somebody who's involved in a job that's foul-smelling. And so for that individual is going to be exempt from the mitzvah. Nashim and avadim sheinim meshuchrarim. So nashim sheinim meshuchrarim. So why do I need a drasha? And eved is like a woman in terms of mitzvahs. So why do I need a drasha? So Ravina gives the answer. Second time in our mesechta. It's on daf dalet, but still. Second time we gave the answer, we said it on daf beis. We sang it here on daf dalet. Ravina says that you're chatzi eved, chatzi meshuchrar. And for such an individual, you have a, you might have thought that he should be obligated. So we have a drasha that says he's not obligated. You have to have legs and they have to work. That's the bottom of Dalamid Aleph, taking us to the top of Dalamid Beis. And so numerous examples of people who either don't have legs or have legs but they simply don't work, including a mefunak, somebody who just simply can't walk without shoes. So those grouping of people are going to be exempted. On the top of Dalamid Beis, so we talked about an Arel and a Tameh. They're going to be exempt from the mitzvah, both aspects of the mitzvah of Re'iyah, both the Havaa and the Biyah. As far as the Tameh is concerned, self-understood, he can't go into the Azara, therefore he doesn't bring a Karban. Arel, like Shitas Rabbi Akiva, and Arel's Domel Tameh. And then finally, last thing that we covered over the course of today's daf, is that various psukim in Tanakh evoked emotion and reaction from Amoraim. The reason why we started this discussion is because we quoted the pasuk in Yeshayahu on the top of Dalamid Beis, and so from there, the Amoraim cited numerous psukim that evoked a reaction and emotion from them.